I remember as a young child sitting in front of the television, and I was watching Captain Kangaroo. How many of y'all remember Captain Kangaroo? Okay. I remember watching Captain Kangaroo and Mr. Green Jeans and all of that. And all of a sudden, that show getting preempted, and I was upset. And that showed an airplane landing in Hawaii. And as I sat there watching this, I'm thinking to myself, what in the world is going on? That airplane landed, the door opened up, and there were POWs that had been freed from Hanoi getting off of that plane. I remember this vividly in my mind as a child. And I remember them coming off of that plane, and I remember some of them kneeling down and kissing the ground. And I remember some of them, family members had somehow gotten to Hawaii and met them, and the family members running across the tarmac, and the reunion that took place in the tarmac, and the prisoners being free, and the joy that was on their faces, realizing that they were no longer captives. Now, I've read a couple of books about some of the captivity and some of the people, what they went through, and everyone that I've read, the men said this: as soon as that plane lifted off of Vietnam soil and was in the air, they knew they were truly free, and they began to cheer and celebrate and enjoyed their freedom. Now you say, Brother Brian, what's that got to do with anything? Brothers and sisters, if you have been covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, by His grace, you are free. And we ought to celebrate that. We ought to have the joy and strength and love, just like those POWs that got off the plane. We ought to be just as excited about the freedom we have because of the grace of Jesus Christ. We are free. No longer bound by our sin. We no longer have to pay the penalty of hell and eternal separation from God. We have eternal life with God Almighty because of the blood of Jesus Christ. God's grace has freed us from eternal damnation. Can I get somebody to grunt an amen? Grace. Grace. Open up to Romans chapter number 2 with me, if you would, this morning. Romans chapter number 2, we're going to look at a couple of verses, then Romans chapter 3 is going to be our focus this morning. But thinking about that freedom, thinking about what God has delivered us from, if I can somehow convince myself and I can somehow convince you that it's going to be okay, if I could somehow help us to realize the victory that we have won, not because of what we have done, but because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Romans chapter number 2. Paul is writing to the Romans, trying to get them to understand exactly where they were. Romans chapter number 2, we're going to start, and we'll start in verse number 20. Romans chapter 2, verse number 20. Paul writes this, he says, "An instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which has the form of knowledge and of the truth and the law, that therefore which teachest another, teachest thou not myself, that you preachest a man should not steal, but you steal. You say a man should not commit adultery, but you commit adultery. You abhor idols, dost thou also commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, though breaking the law, dishonorest thou God. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, for circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law, but if you be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision." He's speaking to the Jews, and these Jews were the ones that were keeping the law. These Jews were the ones that were saying, oh, those Gentiles, they're worshiping idols. Those Gentiles, they're hating those Gentiles. And they were pointing their fingers at those Gentiles. And Paul said, listen, you bunch of reprobates, you bunch of evil teachers, if you're trying to keep the law to make yourself right with God, then you have come fallen short. Let me help you understand something, folks, this morning. How many of you have broken one of the Ten Commandments ever in your life? I'm not talking about this morning. I'm talking about, all right, if we all as honest, we'd raise our hand and say, we've broken about every single one of them. But here's the problem. The Bible says as you've broken one, you've broken them all. And if you've broken one of the Ten Commandments, that then places you in a position that you can't have eternal life according to what the law says. The law says you break one, you've broken them all, and you receive eternal damnation because you have fallen short of what God expects from us. But these Jews, they had it set in their mind that they were good to go because they were Jews. They were okay. As long as they were under the Jewish law and they were under Abraham's children, then they were good to go. But Paul said, listen, you bunch of reprobates. You're accusing the Gentiles of worshiping idols. What are you doing? You're accusing the Gentiles of taking advantage. What are you doing? Just because you're a Jew doesn't make you safe. Let me help you understand this morning also, folks. Just because you're sitting in here this morning doesn't mean you have eternal life. There's a lot of good pew-sitting people in this world who are not going to heaven. Sitting a pew, joining a church, saying a prayer doesn't equal eternal life. You must be covered in the blood of Jesus Christ to have eternal life. And Paul was trying to get them to understand, listen, following the law doesn't do it. Your good works can't do it. And he continues on here in chapter number 2. Look what else he says after that. And then he says this. Verse number 26, he says, therefore, if the uncircumcision, the Gentiles, they keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? So he says, in other words, if the Gentiles keep the law, does that make them equal to you? And shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law? He says, listen, so if the Gentiles keep the law, if the Gentiles follow the Ten Commandments, they can point their fingers right back at you, saying that you're wicked. What good does it do to point fingers? What good does it do for me to point a finger at you and for you to point a finger at me? It does no good. I don't judge you. You don't judge me. Because actually, brothers and sisters, nobody has the right to judge anybody else based upon the eternal security. Either you know Jesus Christ or you don't. I can't look at you and say, I know you're saved. I can't do that. You can't look at me and say, oh, Brother Brian, I know you can't. My fruits can indicate my salvation, but you can't look at my soul and say, yes, you're saved. You have no right to judge me. I have no right to judge you. That's what Paul's trying to get to understand. Now here's what he says next. He says, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is in outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. He says, it doesn't matter what the outside looks like. It matters on what's on the inside. See, the Jews at this time, because they were Jewish, they thought they were above everybody else. And Paul said, listen, just because you're a Jew doesn't make you better in God's eyes than the Gentiles. How did a Jew prove he was a Jew? Well, they went by circumcision. If you were circumcised, then guess what? You were a proper Jew. And if you weren't circumcised, then therefore you didn't belong to God. How many of you are glad that that's not the way we'd prove that anymore? You'd have everybody pulling down their pants to prove they were a Jew. That'd be pretty uncomfortable. Now we laugh, but that's the truth. That's what the Jews were measuring righteousness by. You know what? I'm glad I don't have to physically prove that I belong to Jesus Christ because I know in my heart I've trusted Him as my Savior. So therefore, I am covered forever. And that's what Paul's trying to get them to understand. The law doesn't make you saved. It's faith in what Jesus Christ has done that makes you saved. Y'all follow that so far? Have I lost anybody? Okay. Chapter number 3 now, okay? All right, chapter number 3. Go down to verse number 9. He says, "What then? Are we better than they?" Speaking about the Gentiles and the Jews. "No, in no wise, for we have better proved both Jews and Gentiles that they all are under sin." All. How many of you understand what the word "all" means? All of y'all? Everybody. Regardless of a Jew, regardless of being a Gentile. Verse number 10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." There's not a single person other than the Lord Jesus Christ who is righteous in their own efforts. Not a single human being. I don't care what party you belong to. I don't care what ethnicity is from you. I don't care if you're rich or if you're poor. I don't care the color of your skin. I don't care your family name. You are not righteous on your own. That's what Paul's trying to get them to understand. Americans, Russians, Chinese, Japanese, Iraqi, Iranian, doesn't matter. When we stand in God's sight in our own righteousness, it's like a filthy, nasty rag. A snot-covered, green-oozing, bloody rag is what our works of righteousness in God's sight is. All my good works are like filthy rags on my own. Y'all follow the picture? Now hold on a minute. All the nasty words that have come from your mouth, all the nasty thoughts that have run through your mind, all the horrible deeds you've ever done, they make you unrighteous. And we've all done them. You mean that sweet little grandmother that lives down the road that doesn't hurt anybody? You're telling me that she's unrighteous? Yes. Now wait a minute, Brother Brian. What about that sweet little child that helps people across the road and pulls weeds and does all kinds? Are you telling me that child's unrighteous? Yes. We're all born into sin. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We are all deserving of hell. I'm trying to get this into your brains to help you understand what we've been delivered from. Now he continues on. Look what he says now in verse number 11. He says, "There is none that understands. There is none that seeks after God." Now if you sit here and tell me, "Well, Brother Brian, before I got saved, I was seeking after God." No, you weren't. You weren't seeking after God. You were seeking after self-pleasure. You were seeking after self-satisfaction. Your life and my life was marked with a lifestyle of self-indulgence. I want to please me. I want to bring me glory. I want to bring me happiness. We were running as far as we could away from God. There is none that sought after that. Verse number 12, "They are all gone out of the way. They are altogether become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is like an open sepulchre," in other words, an open grave. "Their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps," snakes, deadly snakes, "is under their lips. Their mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes." That's where we were. Now you say, Brother Brian, why are you trying to tell us this? Why are you reminding this? Because I want you to understand what grace really means. John Newton. I told you the story a little bit last week. I want to fill some more blanks into you for you. As he was walking that ship deck, and underneath him were slaves that were getting ready to be sold. And they would dock and they would offload their cargo. That's what they referred to it as, cargo, not never humans. It was just property. And they would take them and put them in the city square. And then they would have men and women, boys and girls, and they would take them and take their clothes off completely. And they would make them stand in the square, and people would come walking by, and they would judge them based upon their physical characteristics. And they would purchase them based upon what they saw physically. They would lift their lips up to look at their teeth. They would have them jump up and down, and they would do all kinds of different things to measure their physical characteristics for how they could work for them. They were just simply property. They didn't care. They were just simply property. And John Newton, he would stand there and they would give him money based upon how many slaves he brought to be sold. And he did this for year after year after year. Selling human beings. How many of you agree that's the lowest of the lows? But he did it year after year after year. He was unrighteous. He was filthy rags. And when God looked at him, all he saw was a slave trader. The Apostle Paul, before he became the Apostle Paul, would go to homes like the Hogues, rip the door open, kill the husband, take the wife and the children, and put them into slavery. He loved crashing in to church services, the gatherings of believers, and he loved separating them. He loved the shock and the awe. And he was unrighteous. He thought he was following the law, but he wasn't. He was a filthy, dirty, nasty human being. Just like John Newton. But so are you, and so was I. My good works are nothing but filthy rags in God's eyes on my own. Paul is trying to get us to understand where we were. Now look what he says next. Verse number 19. Now we know that what things soever the law says, it says to them who are under the law. Why? That every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh shall be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. If you are trying to keep the law and follow the Ten Commandments, and that somehow that's going to make you okay in God's sight, guess what? It ain't going to do it. Well, Brother Brian, I've obeyed my parents, and I've gone to church, and I've not lied much, and I've not stolen much, and I've not committed adultery. So therefore, God looks at me and says, hey, you're okay. No. No. You're not. If you're hoping that the law, the Ten Commandments, saves you, you're nothing but a filthy rag in God's eyes. Nasty, filthy. That's what Paul's trying to help them understand. And you say, wait a minute, Brother Brian, I'm an American. An American. We got everything made. Brother Brian, we're the good ones. We're the ones that win the wars, Brother Brian. We're the ones that stand for righteousness. So I'm an American. And Brother Brian, I'm a Baptist. Man, I'm a Baptist, Brother Brian. That makes me okay. No, it doesn't. Just because you got baptized, or just because you signed a church letter, Or just because you claimed, because your grandmother went to church, that you're a Baptist and you're saved? No, that doesn't do it. Well, then what hope do I have? What hope do I have? Well, Paul answers that question for us. Verse number 21, here's what he says. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. He says, listen, God's righteousness has been manifested. And how was God's righteousness manifested? The cross, the blood of Jesus Christ. God became flesh to die on a cross on our behalf. It was manifested. It was shown. It wasn't hidden. And Paul's trying to get them to understand, listen, you crucified him. You're the one that put him off the cross. You're the one that beat him. You're the one that denied him. The one that God sent to you. Verse 22, he says, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. He says, listen, it doesn't matter if you're a Jew. It doesn't matter if you're a Gentile. You place your faith in Christ, you are saved. It doesn't matter if you go to Swain High. It doesn't matter if you go to Smoky Mountain. It doesn't matter if you go to Rosman. You place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved. It doesn't matter if you're a Republican. It doesn't matter if you're a Democrat. It doesn't matter if you're independent. You place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved. It doesn't matter if you're a native. It doesn't matter if you're not a native. You place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are saved. Brothers and sisters, we have no hope in ourselves. It's got to be grace. See, here's the thing. As John Newton stood there watching the slaves be sold, and he was making thousands of dollars by selling other human beings, it was eating him up, and he knew it. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound, he wrote, that saved a wretch like me. You know what a wretch is? A wretch is a nasty, filthy human being. A wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. John Newton realized where he was. Now look at me. Do you know where you are this morning? I'm not talking about all the good things you've done. Do you realize where you are spiritually right now? Are you in God's sight on your way to heaven because of the blood of Christ? Or you are in God's sight on your way to hell because you refuse to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior? 23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That connotation is this, drawing an arrow back and shooting it and missing the target every single time. Your good works and your good deeds fall short every time. But then Jesus comes up and he says, let me have a shot. Whew, right on target. Your good deeds miss the mark. The blood of Christ meets the deed. And I say, Brother Brian, what are you trying to get us to understand? Here it is. Unless you have faith in the blood of Christ and you received God's grace by faith, you have no hope. That's what it means. Let me confess something to you this morning. I've said something a little bit about what I grew up in. My life was full of carousing and self-satisfaction for 21 years. I did what I wanted to do. I did whatever pleased my flesh for 21 years. I had no thought whatsoever of the consequences from choices that I made. I simply lived like I wanted to live. I was on the highway to hell. And I was going as fast as I could get there. I had no desire for God. I had no desire for anything other than myself. Some of you, right now, you're on that same road. Your life is all about you. Your life is all about your pleasure. Your life is all about what you can get. You don't care about what God says. You're doing what you want to do. Some of you have family members and friends who are doing the exact same thing. No regard for God. That's where I was. But one day, the Holy Spirit said, enough is enough. And I had to admit that I was on my way to hell, and that the only way that I could have eternal life is by faithfully accepting God's grace. See, grace is this. Grace is being given something that I don't deserve. Mercy is not receiving what I deserve. Mercy says, I'm not going to blast you and send you to hell because I love you. Grace says, not only am I going to love you, I'm going to lift you up and make you my child. That's what grace is. I don't deserve it. But he saved me anyway. You say, Brother Brian, how do you know? By faith. If you follow the law, then you did it on yourself. But if you accept it by faith, it's all God's doing. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. How many of you were a wretch one day? On your way to hell. But God's grace said, my child, I love you. You don't have to go there anymore. Now, there's times in my life I could be sitting in my office studying, and Satan or a demon will remind me of all the horrible, nasty things that I did. And he'll sit there and whisper to me and said, you're a preacher, but you used to, and he fills the blank in. I know none of y'all ever experienced that. Y'all are a lot more holy than I am. And I say, yeah, I remember. But my Heavenly Father says, I don't remember any of it. Why? Because I'm covered in the blood by God's grace. Now, I know what some people think. Well, good, I'm covered in the blood. Now I can live like I want to live. Woohoo! I can beat somebody up and I can show them all kinds of nasty things and I can talk like I want to do because I'm covered in the blood, Brother Brian. No. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. You know what your task on earth is now? Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Gentlemen, look at me for a minute. Is looking at porn sites bringing glory to God? Is cheating on your taxes and lying and stealing from your employer and being lazy at work, is that bringing glory to God? Absolutely not. Ladies, reading those gossip magazines and gossiping on the telephone and being mean and everything, is that bringing glory to God? No. Your task, now that you have grace, is bringing glory to God. Stop trampling grace and start living in grace. Does that make sense? Grace. I can't grasp it yet. I still can't. What God's brought me from. But I'm grace. Amen. Let's all stand together this morning. God's grace. Grace that is greater than all my sin. Heads bowed and eyes closed. This is not a time to look around, not a time to fool around with your neighbor. Just give me just a few more minutes and we'll be done this morning. Let me ask you a question. How many of you were once a sinner? Would you raise your hand this morning? Amen. How many of you are sorry for your sin? How many of you have received God's grace through faith and that not of yourselves? Would you lift your hand up this morning? Won't you take the time today where you're standing or maybe up front and tell God, thank you. Thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for grace today. Won't you live in that grace today? That doesn't mean God wants you to be miserable and walk around with a frown on your face. He just wants you to bring Him glory with your life. Won't you live today? You've been saved. Won't you bring Him glory with your life? Heavenly Father, thank you for your grace. I have no right in my deeds to stand here and even preach your word. Lord, all my works of righteousness are like filthy rags in your sight. But thank you for saving my sorry soul by the blood of your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for giving me grace. Now, Father, take this next few moments. Whatever you need to do, you do it. Thank you for your grace. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Brother Danny, you sing. You just do what God's told you to do.
There is a problem.